Hey, welcome to the Killer Frogs. This is episode 126 for Tuesday, November 5th, 2019. And on tonight's podcast, it's no good news. There's the title for the podcast. There's no good news this week. But to go ahead and explain the no good news, we've got Hunter Nix with us. Hey, Hunter.
How's it going?
I wish it was going better.
Same here.
And we also have Hall of Famer WC Nix. Hey, Dubber.
Hey, buddy. Gonna be an interesting week now.
It certainly will. We got back from Oklahoma State on Saturday night. The bus trip was a success. The purple beer was fantastic. By the way, if you haven't seen the purple beer we posted up on social media that Fort Brewery supplied us, surprised the heck out of all of us. I think that's probably the bright spot that's happened in the last 7 days for us. But let's talk a little bit about that Oklahoma State game before we get to the really bad news.
It helps us drown our sorrows.
Absolutely, and I have a glass of it right in front of me right now. Hunter, Oklahoma State, TCU goes into Stillwater, which historically we have not done very well in that arena football stadium. And we thought we had a chance, and it looked for a while there that we did. But what do you think was the major problem with this team on Saturday?
It's really hard to win a game with four turnovers, no matter who you're playing. And the turnover battle was huge for us. The one that really sticks out to me, Dugan had definitely two picks that were not good picks. The first one, I think it was a pretty bad call or no call on right. the refs there, which I think there were quite a few of those as well on Saturday. We were playing against both, but the real one that I think was going in right after the half, first drive, we fumbled on our own 20-yard line going in.
Yeah, the Stevens fumble.
Stevens fumble. We had just scored the last two drives of the first half, kind of gotten some momentum. We get the ball back. We move the ball down the field really well. We look clean. We look polished. And then we fumble going in to score. We're definitely getting points there. And then to go from nothing and giving them the ball back, and then I believe they scored on the long run pretty quick after that, or on one of the long runs pretty quick after that. So, you know, it's just a huge momentum changer there, and just turnovers. You can't have four, at least against a good enough team, and Oklahoma State's good enough for sure.
Yeah, going into that one particular play, the entire stadium was just dead quiet. At least it sounded that way from the press box. How did it sound from the stands for you? I mean, it sounded like everyone was sitting on their hands.
Oh yeah, they were worried going in. I mean, we had just come back from like 17-3 at the end of the half. We tie it up, and then we're going in to score. We're moving the ball great on them, and at that point, I think we were above them in yards. And then just
we were
complete momentum changer there, and so I think that one just really killed us. And you know, you look back, it was a close game, and you get that score back, that's a 14-point swing. So, pretty big deal.
It is a pretty big deal. Dubber, let me get you in on this, because one of the biggest complaints I think I saw over the weekend from fans wasn't necessarily the game call by Cumbie. I think everybody said that the Cumbie's game plan seemed to have been improved, but they're a little bit more worried about this defense. Did you see anything there defensively that worries you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have given up, you know, we've always given up some decent plays at times, but we have given up huge plays every week. I mean, huge plays. I mean, you talked about this longest run in Patterson era, you know.
Most rushing yards against the Patterson team, too.
Rushing yards. I mean, you know, I don't know what it is, but it seems like, you know, every game – we're totally – I mean, and when they get a loose one, I mean, it's like there is nobody there. Yep. I mean, I don't understand. Yeah. I don't understand how they get so open, but I guess that's with his defense. If everybody's manned up or whatever and, you know, one guy blocks or one guy fills the wrong hole, I guess when they're manned up like that, you know, you're in trouble. And then, of course, they had the speed at tailback that when he got
back, quarterback.
Well, let me rephrase that.
Right.
When he got even with everybody, it was over.
Yep. It was for over. Sure. Chuba Hubbard's in the NFL back.
That's what I've been disappointed at more than anything is that part of it. Because, you know, like the offense, you're right. I mean, Dugan made a couple of terrible throws he shouldn't throw, but hey, he's going to learn from that.
Yep.
But, you know, we got some terrible calls. We didn't get, well, let me rephrase that. We didn't get some calls we should have got that were just terrible.
And well, then, you know, going back to that big long run, you were talking about there was nobody there. Well, the reason why there was nobody there is that Wallow was just absolutely mugged.
Yeah.
There was no flag. Yeah.
Yeah. The no calls. But then, I don't know. I just, you know, you kind of expect it from the offense, but you just keep thinking, you know, our defense is going to, you know, we're relying on them and this and that. Well, really and truly, you look at yardage and this and that, blah, blah, blah. I mean, they've been gashed.
Right. Yep.
They've been gashed a lot. That's what I don't understand is, you know, we've always had this, you know, you always get kind of frustrated in a little bit because Patterson's always got this mentality, bend but don't break. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, trade field goals for touchdowns, you know, and I can do that all day long. I mean, I'm mm-hmm. great with that. But, boy, we just give it up some huge plays.
Yeah, and I think it's been – I mean, zone read has been a huge problem for us this year. Just stop – I mean, you saw Kansas State. You saw Iowa State. You've seen now – now Oklahoma State. We're not doing the right thing on whatever it is. And I think it's honestly our DNs are not who they – we've had NFL DNs for the past 2 or 3 years, and those guys were – NFL players, so they made some of these plays that I mean I remember Ben Banigou coming across the line and you know getting the running back after reading the quarterback making him hand it and then still making that play, and we just aren't having that production out of the DNs right now either, and not saying that I'm expecting them to be pro caliber right now because they're young, at least Ochoan is, and we've got a guy who just came from, you know, another school, and behind him is freshmen, so you know I'm not saying that I'm not saying that the scheme is maybe wrong, but I don't think we have the players to play that what we played in the past, and so we need to change our scheme possibly.
These are silly mistakes to be making 8 games into the season.
Exactly.
Or 9 weeks into the season, because you also had a bye in there too. So
yep.
That's a big problem if that's
it's
the situation.
A huge problem.
And I agree with you. I think the defensive ends have been probably one of the biggest – I would say I don't want to say disappointments, but probably one of the most underwhelming aspects of the defense that we've had this year. And you know, in that first quarter, we got Lewis back, which I think everybody was happy with. But in that first quarter, it took him a quarter and a half to finally find his legs underneath him and get back into the game. And that first quarter, he just looked like a freshman out there again. Got better throughout the rest of the game. But those defensive ends just were not doing their job. They weren't staying home. And then again, you know what? Hubbard's a freaking beast. He's amazing.
Yes.
And I saw
– tackle, you're going to be –
Yeah,
you're gone. He's gone.
You're screwed. Yeah, there's no stopping him. And he is amazing. Mm-hmm. He's probably one of the better running backs, definitely one of the best running backs in the country. And if he's not if he's not New York for the Heisman presentation, I'll be very surprised. But – you know, it's an issue that I'm kind of surprised with the Patterson defense, because we have been kind of like bred as a team that relies on defense. We're the ones that will, you know, this is the team that will stop you on defense and win the game on defense. And week in and week out, this defense has given up a lot of points and a lot of yards and making a lot of mistakes. And it is troublesome. But let's go back to offense here for a moment, because I do have a bit of a worry on the offensive side of the ball as well. Saw a lot of drops again on Saturday.
Yes.
A couple of low balls, but you know what? They hit you in the hands. It's your job to catch them. Yeah, you got to catch them. Pro Walls dropped a couple. Rager missed one. Barber missed one. It was troublesome at certain different points of the game. Mm-hmm. But one of the bigger problems that I had on Saturday was the protection of the offensive line. Was giving Duggan, and he got clobbered time after time after time on Saturday. And to his credit, he stayed in the pocket, took every single hit, delivered every ball that he possibly could. But that offensive line, do you think we took that step back, Dubber? Do you think, you know, losing, you know, Nying for the season, do you think that was the big problem?
Well, I mean, I'll say this, it's hard to replace a guy like that. And then your offensive line's it's a little different animal. You gotta I always say this, I mean you got in the offensive line you gotta be good yourself, and then you gotta be good with four other people. And if you're not working with those other four guys, you're in trouble. And right now, we're not in sync. I mean, I'm right there with you. I was probably disappointed in that, you know, watching the line just, you know, hey, I tell you, tell me one, two things. One, we got work to do on the offensive line, but two, it showed me how tough our freshman quarterback is. Oh, my God.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. He got the dog beat out of him. I mean, he got pounded. I mean, you know, he got hit. And,
yeah.
You know, but, yeah, I was really disappointed in that. I was really disappointed in our pass protection. You know, and of course, sometimes they're bringing more than what we can block, you know. So that's kind of the problem at times. But still, there was too many times when – is the lookout block. You know, when all of a sudden you're turning around saying, look out, and it's a quarterback's good deal.
Yeah, and I'll say this. Dugan, he didn't have his best game, but I mean, if nothing else, we've seen that dude is a freaking competitor. Mm-hmm. He stands in the pocket. I mean, he got lit up. He hurt his finger. He came back in. It looked like he hurt something else, came back or tried to come back in. He was on the sideline chirping at the coaches. If nothing else, I love just to see that because that dude's a warrior, man. Out on the field, he wants it more than I feel like he's one of those guys. He wants it, and that's what you need, you know. If nothing else, at least we know his head's in the right place as far as that.
Well, I mean, he goes out and he delivers a great game against Texas, and he comes into, you know, a stadium that we have had, like I said before, historically just terrible games in. Yep. And he goes up against a defense that it looked like they were just going to scheme of just throw everything you possibly can at the freshman quarterback and try to make him beat you. Mm-hmm. And outside of beating ourselves, like we talked about the Stevens fumble, the drops in the receiving, and you know a couple of bad passes by Dugan, which is to be expected given the fact that he's a freshman, he stood in the pocket and he delivered. And I agree with you, Hunter, this is a guy that looks like he is a warrior, and I cannot wait to see him back under center again. And I think he earned a lot of respect from TCU fans on Saturday. And let me get Jack. Is that you? Did you chime in there in the middle of that?
That is me. Some technical difficulties. It's called being over the age of 60 and not knowing what I'm doing.
That's okay. No one's judging.
I'm not young enough to claim I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm too old to say that I can't read the directions. So anyway.
Do you go to your MySpace page instead of Google?
No. What's that? Yes. I was using MySpace.
Yeah, never mind. It's all. Well, Jack, let's get you in on this, on the game on Saturday. What were your thoughts on the Oklahoma State loss?
It was disappointing. There's no doubt. I didn't think we gave ourselves a chance. It didn't look like a lot of urgency out there like it did against Texas. I will agree. I don't know if it was who had said that a few minutes ago, but about Max Duggan, he's something. I mean, he's a real competitor, and he got beat up a lot out there. But, you know, it was another one of those games that reminded me a lot of Kansas State, even SMU, where we do just enough to not be able to get the win. Yep. Just enough. And well, you know, said. It's not like we – if we were playing great game, I'd say, man, we're just hanging in there. But, you know, we do enough things that are so unlike us that, you know, you look back on the game and you go, my goodness, you know, the big run by the running back and, you know, some drop balls and some missed assignments. And, you know, it just reminds me of those other two where you just kick yourself and, you know, like I said, it's that razor thin close.
Yep. It's 5 to 7 plays a game, and we've just been on the other side of them for most of them.
I will say one thing. There is one bright in every thing. Blacklock,
He's a stud.
He is the real deal. And I've yet to not see him come and play. And I'm going to tell you something else. Of it. He wreaked havoc all day. I just get, I think my lucky stars, we got him in the middle because he.
It would have been a whole lot worse without him there.
I mean, if they do not double team him, he blows up a play. If they double team him, sometimes he still blows up a play. He is by far, in my mind, he's by far been TCU's best player all year long. And it's not even been close.
Well, his play in that first half opened up Bethley for the first time that I've seen in a couple of days. I mean, if it wasn't for his play, I don't think Bethley would have had the kind of game that he did.
Yep. Oh, I mean, I definitely saw multiple times where I was looking down and I'm tapping Dad and I'm going, oh my gosh, they're triple teaming Blacklock right now. Like, how are we not getting more pushed? Because they're triple teaming this one guy here right now.
Right.
But, you know, definitely Blacklock has played lights out this year. That dude, he's something else. And, you know, another bright spot, there was we had a new frog that came out and played a bunch. Ben Wilson came and played pretty well from that other linebacker spot. I think
he did.
He's going to be the guy going forward. That guy is a great tackler. And that's coming off 6 weeks of not playing, and he looks good. I mean, he makes the tackle out in the open field, which you need in this defense. I mean,
he did that twice. He did that twice on Saturday where we absolutely needed to get an open field tackle to stop or stall a drive, and he made it happen. And he, like Lewis in that first quarter, though, there was a couple of times where he was caught out of position and we're like, oh, okay, well, what's going to happen? But he picked it up just like Lewis did and ended up having a really good game.
Yeah. You know, I mean, he's kind of like in preseason still, or the first week. Second game, I mean, that's what he's like right now. Doesn't matter how much you practice all that until you get out there, you're really just, you know, that's just second game basically for him. He's learning.
Yep, and he's going to be, I mean, I can't imagine having him and Wallow for a whole season. I think is going to be really fun to watch because he's legit and he's a big linebacker. He's 6'2", 220. And, you know, we don't have linebackers like that all the time. We don't have a true linebacker. This guy was a linebacker in high school. He was recruited as a linebacker, and he's going to be a stud.
Yeah, he'll certainly help going forward. And this defense needs to grow up pretty fast because I don't know how we're going to be able to compete for the rest of the season if we can't get a good push and if we constantly are giving up those big plays like we did in Oklahoma State. But you know, thankfully, we don't have to face another running back like Hubbard for the rest of the season. So there's a little bit of a bright side. Now on to some darkening clouds on the horizon. Actually, full-on F5 tornado. We lose Duggan at the end of the game. Looks like a linebacker comes in, hits Duggan, looks like a forehead to the head, no flag. But Duggan, in the process of throwing, hits his wrist on the defender's helmet. Goes out, couple plays, Collins comes in. Looks like Duggan comes in for a play, then gets pulled right back out. And Collins finishes the game. Duggan's out. We find out the very next day, Collins is rushed to the hospital with, was it a lacerated kidney?
Lacerated kidney.
Lacerated kidney. So we're down two quarterbacks. And, of course, we found out a couple of days before the Oklahoma State game, Rodgers decides he's going to transfer. That's three quarterbacks. And now, Hunter, why don't you take us through the news that we found out earlier today?
Well, nothing is official from TCU yet, but there is a lot of smoke, you could say, about Alex Delton leaving the team now. So we have gone from six quarterbacks to two. If these reports are true, which we'll never find out from Coach Patterson before Saturday, we won't know till we see who suits up. But it seems that Alex Delton has left us as well. So we're down to a redshirt freshman walk-on, Matthew Downing, who was the third stringer at Georgia last year, transferred over. And Matthew Baldwin, who you guys know, transferred from Ohio State right before camp and then had knee surgery. So we went from six guys a week and a half ago to two. So don't really know what to think now.
Well,
panic. It's that is.
Seriously, you heard that actually Dalton just left the. I'm sorry, I joined in kind of late. So you heard that Dalton just he's done playing for this year.
Supposedly, the rumor is out there that he left the team today.
He walked in and said, "I'm done."
Yeah, supposedly they had a meeting. This is all speculation, message board stuff, of course. You know, we are a message board podcast. But the rumor is he went in yesterday, met with Cumbie and Patterson, and today he was no longer part of the team. So I don't know what else to take from that except that we went from 6-2.
And we will say that the report mentioned that it wasn't because he was told he wasn't going to be the starter.
Yes.
So the starting job had nothing to do, well, at least as far as we know, it wasn't directly the cause of him leaving the team. So we don't know what the situation is. And as Hunter said, who knows? Maybe this report is wrong, but based on the source, Hunter, I think we would say it's...
I feel pretty good about it. Don't pretty get me wrong. Good. I feel really good about it, actually.
Let's rephrase it. We don't feel good about it.
Yeah, I don't
feel
good. We feel
confident about the source.
I feel confident that the source is right. But that's about it. I don't feel confident in anything else because I don't know anything else about Matthew Baldwin. I know a little bit about Matthew Baldwin, but he's coming off an injury, and I don't know anything about Downing at all. And he was the guy. All I know is that he beat out Justin Rogers this year, and that's why he's been the fourth stringer and Rogers transferred. So,
boy, it rains, it pours.
And when it rains, it pours. Yes, indeed.
Yep, from riches to rags.
So,
really.
Let's see if we can get real inventive. I hope we see some stuff we saw last year when the Mule was in. Thank you, Mule, for taking us to a bowl game. We salute you. But, you know, I hope we get inventive with this offense because we're probably going to need it.
We've had success with third string quarterbacks the last couple of years, so let's see how the fourth string quarterback works.
Yep, we're just moving it on down. You know, maybe we'll get a Disney movie out of Downing.
Well, I will say this: we've been lucky because I mean, when you look at them six quarterbacks, I don't know one of them. I knew all the rest of them. We had a pretty talented group of quarterbacks.
We did.
There was no way. I didn't realize it was going to be done like this. There's no way I knew after the end of the season we were holding on to all those quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? It'll be interesting to see. I mean, it's not like we're not 8-0. We're 4-4. So, what? Let's see another quarterback. Somebody else gets to play. Hopefully they'll come out. We don't know anything about them, so we know one thing. Baylor can't know anything about them either.
Exactly. That's true.
Right.
Yeah, they can't scheme for him because nobody knows what he's going to be able to do. So, yeah, we've got Downing, Baldwin, who, of course, is coming off of that knee injury and had to fight for eligibility at the beginning of the season. And he was just cleared last week, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
It's been the last 2 weeks.
I think the last 2 weeks. Yeah, but it was not long ago.
Right.
So,
and hopefully you don't have to throw him in there. But we still have Ringdahl. You mentioned Ringdahl earlier before we started recording, Hunter. Mm-hmm. And I forgot. You're absolutely right. I saw him on the depth chart. He's a wide receiver, so he was quarterback last year.
Yeah.
I think fourth string quarterback last year, and we saw him in a couple games. So at least we have another guy who could pick up the slack before we have to go to Shawo and the Wild Frog every single snap.
Well, thing about it is, I ain't worried about Baldwin. If the guy can play, he's been cleared. I want the best player to play. If he's a player, I'm pretty sure he was pretty good wherever he's been.
Oh, yeah. He was a stud at Lake Travis. In fact, he's the same high school as Charlie Brewer, the starting quarterback for Baylor.
Yeah.
He was the quarterback before him, I think, or right after him.
Man, I just want the best player. He's healthy. Bring him on.
Yep.
Yeah, who would have thought?
Seeing a couple of them. So it'll be interesting.
That's probably why I believe, and if there's any speculation, I'm not saying this or that, but I could just see that St. Bill's is dealt basket by the guy from here on out. Now everybody's hurt. I can I can definitely see him playing. No. You got two other quarterbacks. We're going to lay it out there on the line. And I have no problem with that. I have zero problem.
No, I don't have any problem with that either.
No, that's what the coaches should do.
Yep.
Agreed.
That's what, you know, they're
probably nobody's entitled to a starting job.
No.
You know? Not this year. Not at 4-4.
Definitely.
You know, you got to work for it. And, you know, if you show up to practice this week and you show you're the guy, you're the guy. And if you can't handle that's what's expected of you, well, there's the door. That's just the way it goes, you know. And I wonder if – and, again, I'm not going to speculate on why Delton is leaving. And I know Rodgers has made it publicly known that, you know, he mentioned, you know, God gave him skills and he didn't want to be dormant. I agree with you. Absolutely. But how bad do you feel if you're Rodgers today?
Yeah. Hey, man.
After all these
– He had a bad injury. I get it. Yeah, after – you know, I don't blame Baldwin. I mean, I don't blame Justin Rodgers at all. You know, the dude, he was a top-ranked recruit. He tore his knee horribly his senior year and took 2 years to recover. And even then, you never know if he's going to be the same guy that he was. So, and he only started one game of – or one – not even – yeah, three games of high school. His junior year, Keontae Wudti, who went to Oklahoma State, was a starter before then. So he barely played in high school. So you've got to think, the guy went through a bad injury. He's not played football. So I get that. But the whole Delton thing is weird to me. It's a weird deal to me. Especially considering, you know, we've heard he's the team guy, he's the captain. And, yeah, it just really caught me by surprise.
How do you guys think – let's go on the assumption that the source that we know who's reporting this tonight is accurate. And so far, I have no reason to doubt any of the news that he reports. So let's just go on the assumption that that's 100% correct. Delton walks in yesterday. And, again, his decision is not predicated on the fact that he was told he wasn't going to start, and he just tells that he's got to leave. Could be a personal reason, could be, you know, any number of things that are going on, and we don't want to speculate the reason why. But you got to think that this is going to affect the team negatively, more so than losing your first two starting quarterbacks to injury. How do you think this team can rebound going into, you know, the Baylor week, playing the number one team in the league?
Well, you know, you can't negative, but, you know, it just depends on all how they look at it and how they handle it. I mean, you know, you could also use this as a rallying point.
Yep.
I mean, and what I've noticed from Patterson's team, just like last year, when it looks like it's the bleakest hour is when all of a sudden they rally around each other and they play, you know, and that's what I'm hoping they do. You know, I hope they rally and keep fighting, and, you know, you're right, though. It's going to be interesting to see which way the team goes, that's for sure.
Well, they got to go 500 in the last four games to be able to become bowl eligible. So, I don't know. Do we get there from here?
Well, I think we do. We're just an every other week team.
Yep.
Well, we still have West Virginia and Tech on the schedule, so at least, yeah.
Yep. And, I mean, hey, I'll say this. We may not be great this year, but we've had Baylor's number even when we've been not great. So this is still a winnable game in our house. We've owned Baylor, and, you know, as much as the quarterbacking has been bad, the defense hasn't played great. You know, I mean, we've had some bad situations. We've also had games where we showed up, and this could be one of those games where the defense goes and pitches a shutout. You don't need much offense. I mean, we've been wishy-washy every week. You know, anything could happen in this week. Not saying that Baylor's not better than they have been, but, you know, it's a rivalry game. Anything's out the window at that point.
Well, I think of the four games, that we've lost this year. There's only one that I think, you know, we weren't even close, and that was Iowa State. But the other three games were close games, and we did not play our best game.
Exactly.
Not even close. Yep. And it was like what Dubber said. It was, you know, we weren't playing great football, and then just so you couldn't quite keep up. We were playing crappy football against teams that were playing good football, and we couldn't find a way to get those, you know, just like you said earlier, Hunter, five or six plays, and it just totally shot ourselves in the foot over and over and over again. So I don't know. Maybe we do show up against Baylor. Maybe we do get this thing done. But I got to think, losing your captain, unless there's something we don't know about and behind the scenes, and totally there could be, I got to think that that's got to negatively affect this team. Jack, what do you think?
Well, it would have to. I mean, you know, you come in on a Monday, or I guess today's their day off, and this circulates around. One, you lose Max, then you lose Michael, and then, you know, you're thinking to yourself, well, we've at least got our starter from the beginning of the year, a fifth-year senior, and then this happens. But I'm kind of like the rest of the group. We saw a pretty lean situation last year about this time, and this group rallied, and then, you know, we go back to the bowl game with Bram, and I mean, there's something about Coach P's teams that seem to like that, being backed into a corner where everybody on the outside is going, well, you know, let's just throw up the flag, what are we going to do? And I could easily see a defensive effort this week that puts it right there at a one-score game where we could get it done.
Yeah, that's where I'm at, too. I mean, you know, we've been a very week-to-week team. And it's so next week we could definitely come out and, you know, play well. But we've definitely not played well the past couple weeks. Or we didn't play well last week, so hopefully we can turn this around. Yeah, it was ugly, and we were still in the game. That's the thing that drives you crazy more than anything.
Yeah, and we were.
Like you said, three of our losses, it was ugly, and we were in the game. I mean, that's what's so maddening.
It is. It definitely is.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this Baylor game that's coming up. As we're beating around the bush, so let's go ahead and talk Baylor. It is Baylor Hate Week, so I guess there is one positive. You know, Baylor comes into TCU undefeated, 8-0, number one in the Big 12. I don't know if Baylor fans, if that makes Baylor fans travel better, but traditionally they don't travel very well. We know they're not going to buy any beer in the stadium. So, you know, what are we thinking as far as this game goes? Are we expecting the defense to kind of step this up? Are we expecting something new out of the offense? With the quarterback, we don't know who's going to start. Hunter, let me start with you. What are you expecting out of this game?
I mean, I think the defense is going to have to come out. For us to win this game, I'm expecting us to play really good defense. Just because they're not a bad team at all. We're going to have to play good defense, not give up big plays. But I am encouraged by by playing them because, I mean, Stephen F. Austin, UTSA, Rice. So they started out 3-0 with three very bad football teams.
Right.
They beat Iowa State, which, hey, Iowa State, that's the one game I think that we've not played very well in at all. They beat Kansas State. I think we could have beat Kansas State if we would have played at all okay. And then they made close games with two bad teams in Tech and West Virginia. They've kind of played to their opponents as the season has gone. So I think it'll be a close game, and I know we'll be up for this one. It's a home game. It's Baylor. We don't like Baylor. There's definitely a difference in energy that we have in the Carter in a way right now, and I think that is a big part of it too.
Well, Dubber, Hunter made a good point. Baylor does seem to be playing down to the level of their competition, and we do play a whole lot better at home. You think those are going to get the Frogs across the finish line on Saturday?
Oh, I think it can, yeah. I mean, you know, the thing that I noticed about Baylor the few times I have watched them is it's not that they're the greatest athletically this, that, but they're just well coached. I got to admit, they're a pretty disciplined team is what I've seen. But I agree with Hunter. I mean, of course, we could very easily be sitting here with one loss, you know. If we just play up to our game, and you know, I think we'll win Saturday. I really do, but it really depends on who shows up to play. I mean, if we do seem to play a lot better at home, and you know, so yeah, I think we got a great chance. I don't think they're like, you know, Oklahoma. You know, when you go to Oklahoma, you're going to see talent everywhere. I mean,
yeah.
And Baylor, they're just a well-coached team that right now they found about every way in the world to win, and they've done a good job at it. I mean, you know, it seems like they've done this and done that or something. One week's offense, one week's defense, special teams. I mean, they just seem like they just have found a way to win. And I won't say it's smoke mirrors because I probably defended Baylor more than most people until I said, hey, they're a well-coached team. But I think we are going to beat them.
Well, you have to give Matt Rhule props. I mean, yeah. He came into an impossible situation, took over a team that was crumbling, kept it together. A lot of these guys have stuck with him, stuck with the program. It is a bit of an older team. I think that does help them out. And they've been a team that's kind of been it's them against the world. And so I think it's paying dividends. But, Jack, we've seen TCU been the spoiler several times in Amon Carter Stadium. The biggest one that I can remember is the SMU game in that going into that game, the winless season, and spoiling SMU's bowl game. And, right. You know, for the fans, the famous pepper spray game. But how do you feel about this team's chances against this undefeated Baylor team on Saturday?
Well, I'm really glad they won last Thursday. I know a lot of people were, you know, hoping they'd get knocked off, but I think them coming in 8-0, it sets up nice. I think this group will play very hard. I do think Hunter said about the defense. I mean, they're going to have to take the lead on this one till we figure out, you know, what's behind center. But I think the other thing too is, you know, Gary's one of the, you know, he's one of the statesmen of the conference, and Matt and several others are brand new and, you know, kind of just got their feet wet, and I just think there's a lot of enthusiasm and energy is going to come out of Coach Patterson with you know, hey, we're TCU and they're Baylor, and you know, we need to beat them here.
Yep.
I mean, we need to win at home. We need to, you know, have that kind of energy. I think, like several of you have mentioned, it's very similar. I mean, you know, yes, we're in the Big 12, but there's something about that Baylor, Texas Tech, Texas, those games are special. They all count the same in the standings, but there's just something different about those games. Right. When it comes to, you know, our young guys.
I will agree with Jack, too. I did not want them to get beat. I think that's even better for us.
Agreed.
It sets it up even better. I just think it's all sitting out there for us now for a play.
Oh, I'm with you on that. I was down in Austin, actually, on Thursday night when that game was being played. I had to run to do a boot camp for local community college, and I actually had to find myself a bar to be able to watch that game, and I watched the entire thing. And I wanted them to win that game because I wanted them to come in here undefeated because I thought we had a chance to be able to beat them. And now I think it's even better because I think this is the pure definition of a trap game for Baylor because they play Oklahoma at home, not in Norman, but in Waco the week after they play us. Right. And so you know they have circled that game, and they're thinking they're going to be able to, you know, if they want to be the top and they're going to go to the Big 12 championship game, they've got to get past TCU, but they've got to beat Oklahoma. They can't leave that door wide open for anybody else in the league to be able to come in. If they beat us and they beat Oklahoma, they're in the Big 12 championship game, and that would be a huge win for them. So you got to think, with everything that's going on here in Fort Worth, with the loss of the quarterbacks, with the fact that we're 4-4, you got to think this is your prototypical trap game for Baylor, right?
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, they, you know, anybody that I think that's watched even a couple of our wins. I mean, the first game of the year, you know, you're kind of going, okay, this is Pine Bluff. Why aren't we rolling big time here?
Right,
but you look at some of our games, and you know they're ugly. I mean, even some of the wins, they're ugly. And if you're Baylor, I think you're probably thinking you're finally, you know, gotten back to the point of you know, being one of the big dogs, and you're going to roll in here and take care of TCU, then point toward Oklahoma. And I could easily see that. You know, this, you know, it'd be the other way around. We're going into Waco and we're 8-0. I would be so afraid of this game. If she was on the other foot, I would be dreading this game. It's like, just go down there and win and get out of there. And I think that's going to creep into their mindset.
Well, Hunter, how do you think Patterson's going to take advantage of this?
I think this is just a circle the wagons week. You kind of say, hey, who's on board here? At least that's my experience as a player. You know, this is one of those where you got to go, hey, you're either with us or against us. You know, you've had defections, you've had guys leave, you've had guys hurt. Now you got to rally. I mean, this is, if we're not up for this game, and I don't, you know, I definitely saw a difference between the level of readiness between Texas and Oklahoma State. And I look for more of the same of Texas week, where we're ready for this game. We're coming in, you know, we're coming in fully focused. We're ready to go. I think maybe we got a big head after the Texas week. You know, we came in, thought we were a little bit better than we were, and they put us back in our place. So I think you're at least going to see some fight that we've maybe not seen every week.
Yeah, I think the fans had some big heads on them as well, and I think we had covered a little bit of that on the bus ride on the way up to Stillwater. Dubber, how about you? Do you think the team's going to be ready for this particular challenge, or do you think some of these things are just going to kind of, you know, unfortunately keep this team down on Saturday?
No, I mean, I believe that we'll rally. I mean, I kind of agree with that. I mean, this team's got to learn. I tell you what they haven't learned. They haven't learned to be consistent. You know, they haven't learned after a big win, you gotta come back and get ready for another game, because the team that you're playing the next week really don't care what you did the week before. And so we gotta learn that. You know, we sit there and talk about the offense, and really and truly, we were finally getting a little bit of consistency with you know, the passing game and stuff the last couple of weeks, but it's not like we're just to be super consistent on offense.
No.
So,
no, not at all.
Well, I think that works in our advantage, in the sense that, hey, it's not like we're losing Andy Dalton, and I don't mean that bad. I mean, because I think Mac's going to be a great player, but it's not like we're losing something that all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, he's the guy that's blah blah blah. And Mac has done a lot of good things, but he's had his freshman time.
Yep.
And everything. So I think all of it works in our advantage as far as all that stuff. Because you know what? I thought I knew I was getting Max, and you kind of do. And if you learn a little bit more about him, a little bit. I think the coach has learned a little bit more. But we're just kind of getting a little bit comfortable. And then of course, he got hurt. So it's not like I'm going in, I mean, next week going, man, I've got so comfortable here. I haven't been that comfortable yet, you know, with our offense. So I you know, another quarterback, all I get to say is, hey, they don't know him at all. So that's good for us.
Well, and a key point, if this is one of those low scoring, you know, dirtied up games, is we've got a field goal kicker that's been very, very hot this year. And he's an upperclassman, and I think, I think he could figure prominently Saturday.
Oh yeah, I think I agree.
Missed out on Blacklock. Well, Song's been awesome. He's been a pillar. I mean, for us all year long.
And we know if we're outside of his range, we can at least give Kel a try. He proved that with Texas, that kick at the end of the first half.
Right.
I mean, he deserves every kick outside of 45 yards. So yeah, I'm not afraid. I think special teams is picking up again. And you know what? Our punter. Sandy. Excuse me. I was gonna say,
yeah,
Sammy.
Jordy.
Is that Sammy?
Yeah.
Sandy. Sandy did a really good job on Saturday. There are a couple of times where he kinda outkicked his coverage, but it didn't really hurt us. And he did a much better job. I mean, he was kicking 40-50 yards a kick. And did a much better job than what we saw in previous couple of weeks. So, you know, there's a plus there. But I think Baylor-wise, if we could bottle up their offense enough with our defense, if we could play TCU ball at home, who knows what we may see out of this offense. This may be the game that Anderson goes off, because I don't see Baylor's defense being able to kind of keep up with us for four quarters. But our defense has got to pull its weight, and that's got to be the key. And West Virginia's defense is not fantastic, but they bottled up Baylor's offense for four straight quarters. And if we can't do the same, I'll be very disappointed on Saturday.
Well, anything all the years have taught me is never say never, because you look at the Bram-Cohausen game, you look at some of the others where they've come in, like, you know, the bowl games where they've come in late, like last year.
Wolstein.
And we've edged it out, and, you know, the year we rallied down in San Antonio. But the one I always look most back to is a dreary day. Well, it was actually, the weather was nice. It was dreary in the press box when Ty Gunn got hurt at Brigham Young. Mm. And we're thinking, golly, this is just coming and unraveled. And it's like, well, we got to put Jeff Ballard in there. And needless to say, Jeff didn't lose too many games after that in his career. And it, plus he rallied us to win that one. And, you know, you just never know when a young man gets that chance, especially with a big rivalry game and where the chips all seem to be going against the team at one time. You know, somebody could step up and emerge. You just don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's what we have to hope for on Saturday. And I think we're looking forward to it. Of course, it's going to be an early game. Kickoff is at 11 o'clock, so mimosas and breakfast burritos for tailgating. But at least we'll be able to be done with the game early enough to watch the rest of the nation's game, so that'll be good. And it's Baylor, right? I mean, shoot.
It is Baylor.
It's one of those games that, you know, the older alumni, it's always like, you know, as long as you beat Texas, it's a good season. And some of the younger alumni, as long as you beat Baylor, it's a good season. So far, we're 1-for-1 when it comes to hate weeks. Hopefully, we can go 2-for-2 on Saturday and beat Baylor and, you know, pee in their punch bowl a little bit and spoil their season. So I hope this team can rally and pull back a win on Saturday. Why don't we go into score predictions for this game? And, Dubber, why don't we start with you?
I'm going to say the score is going to be 24-13.
Low scoring game.
Yep.
24-13 TCU. I'll take that. I'd like to see Baylor's offense held to 13 points. That'd be nice. Hunter, how about you?
I'm going to go with 21-17 TCU.
And both y'all.
I think it'll be close, but we're going to have to play pretty good on defense to win this game, I think. We're going to have to keep the score low.
Jack, are you thinking the same thing?
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out a field goal score here.
9-3. 26-17.
I was thinking 19-10, but I think we're gonna add another one there.
That's a lot of field goals.
I know. This is one Jonathan to come prepared to kick.
Yeah. Yes. Well,
yeah, he may end up setting that was that single game record that he had a chance to do earlier on in the season. That would have been interesting. And I think Nathan had
five.
Yeah, with five, right? They pulled him out right before he got the five. And I think Nathan had texted us his score prediction. What did he say, 31-30? Is that right, Hunter?
Yeah, 31-30.
Because we all know Nathan loves Baylor.
That was Ryan's score prediction.
Oh, that was Ryan's.
37-34.
Yeah, everyone's picking a really, really close game, and I'm not going to buck the trend on that. I agree. I think this is going to be a close game, just like most of Baylor's games, most of our games. I think it's going to be a slightly higher scoring game than that, kind of like what we saw at Oklahoma State. So I'm going to go along with Nathan's prediction. I'm going to say 34-31 TCU. So it's going to be another close game. But I'm with Jack. I think Song ends up – wow, that was loud. Song's going to be the –
Yeah, you also cut out. What'd you say?
I said I believe Song is going to be the guy who's going to win the game. So field goal kind of a game, and Frogs pull it out. We beat Baylor.
Why don't we? You're not worried about the quarterback situation.
I'm not worried about the quarterback situation because I think this is going to be more of a running game.
Talked about the quarterback situation, all that, boy. I mean, we're gonna pick right on up. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, well, you know, I think this might be a good thing for Cumbie because I think he's going to have to rely a little bit more on the ground game, and I don't think Baylor's defense can be able to handle our run game for four straight quarters. I think that's the case. I think we wear them down. I think first half, just like we've seen most first halves this season, I think we're going to have a little bit of a lower scoring game, maybe one or two scores in the first half, but I think things open up in the second half. We keep pounding the ball. I think we just, you know, as the board keeps saying, run the damn ball. I think that's what we're going to do on Saturday.
I'm with you. Let's just win. I don't care what it is, just win.
Yeah.
Amen.
2-0. I don't care.
3-2. Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Yeah, this is one of those games where if you win by one, nobody cares. Because you win. Yeah, that's all that matters.
Well, you know, you talk about that, the younger generation. I'm at halftime. I'm worried about an Oklahoma State game, and I talked to these two younger people, and they're like, well, we want to win. Don't get me wrong, but if we just beat Baylor, I'll be happy. I'm like, well, I'm not going to be that happy if that's the only game I'll win. But I mean, in their mind, they just hate Baylor. They you know, just
– I agree with them.
If we beat Baylor, you know. Well,
it's like I was saying. I mean, the older alumni, they really hate UT. Right, and the newer alumni absolutely cannot stand Baylor.
Because UT, I mean, the younger alumni. Let's be real. Since we started playing UT, they haven't beat us very much. They've not been very good.
Yeah, 6 of 8 TCU has won.
So, and the one I'll say the thing that Baylor, you know, it's all the Baylor stuff in general. But then the 61-58 is still the worst game I've ever been a part of. I've been in part of games that didn't hurt as much as that.
Yeah, that was a bad one.
61-58 was the worst game of my life.
Well, yeah. And the fact that they kept trolling us about it for like the next,
oh my gosh,
you know, 3 years. You know, going so far as like staging their team photo with number 68 or 61
and 58 next to each other,
right? It's like,
yeah.
It's like, okay. I mean, it's not as clever as Rice Seed by the SMU band, but
no.
Yeah.
But hey, at least out of all that, they got an Outback Bowl win. Oh, no, they didn't.
No,
even
they
the
didn't
Outback
do that.
Bowl. They
no,
went
man.
To the Outback Bowl. Sorry. That was their best thing from that. So, you know, go Baylor.
Yeah.
You guys really are killing it.
It's all good.
You want to hear a really irritating story from that year of Purple Pass?
Yes. Let's hear.
Okay. When we went down that year in basketball, they happened to pick that night to obviously honor the team, show some highlights, had Art Briles sitting on the front row, and they did the chant 61-58. I mean, I am not kidding you.
It was
and,
their Super
you know,
Bowl.
You're just sitting there going, and? I mean, okay, I understand maybe that year because it 1 month later or 2 months, but they're still talking about it.
Yeah.
They're living in the past.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you can't blame them because their biggest win in football ever is a 61-58 conference, not even championship game because they're that trash. So, good job, Baylor. Your biggest game ever is a conference win. Awesome.
Well, do you want to hear another good Purple Pass, and then I'll be quiet?
Sure.
Yeah.
This is not even – well, it is related to football. It's related to just the universities. This is right before Dever came to TCU, or he would have been right in the middle of this. But in the late 1970s, the esteemed gentleman's magazine Playboy was going around –
now, this is a clean story, right, Jack?
No, it's very clean.
Okay, just making sure. All right, continue.
Yeah, I'm – no, I – I calculated it up in my mind how I was going to present this. So I'm making it very clean.
All right. So
they
Playboy.
Went around and they were doing these pictorials of conferences. And it was like the women of the SEC, the women of the Big Eight. Well, they decided to do one of the Southwest Conference. And, of course, there was much ado in Waco, Texas about that a active enrolled co-ed would pose. And it didn't necessarily have to be nude, but, you know, obviously provocative. And they had two that did, and they were rumored to be dismissed from school. So the very next year was also around the time that they were beginning to allow dancing at homecoming dances.
Oh,
and we went
forbid.
Down there. Yes. And we went down there, and many of the signs, it was a 1980 game in Waco. No, I'm sorry, it was an 81 game. Many of the signs, you know, had from TCU students, not myself, obviously, I wasn't an artist, but alluded to dancing, and then, you know, the phrase, "Hey, Baylor, bear it all." And then it would have, you know, a picture of a nude woman on the poster board. So, which also created a stir down there, and they had honestly had people going around ushers trying to collect those signs and those posters. And that was the conservatism of the Baylor University up to that point.
Whoa. Somebody's phone's going off.
Yep, sorry about that, guys. I'm the only generation, no technology, doing
one. Yeah, geez. I haven't had
like
my...
last week when you said, we got a problem.
It cracked me up just because I haven't had my phone on loud in like 3 years. Actually, probably since I've like gotten after a razor.
Bless you. That's not all bad.
Yeah. Nothing like that.
Oh, man, that was loud. All right, well, Debra,
I thought I had it on silent, too.
Godwin's knee break.
He does.
Oh, okay.
It's okay.
I'm just waking everybody up.
It was all good. Yeah, we were all enthralled by this Playboy story, and then you stepped all over it with your phone, but
yeah,
it's all good.
Yeah, it was a big deal. I mean, there's anybody would be interested, I'm sure there's one out there on eBay somewhere, but it was, the girls of the Southwest Conference.
I will say
and I think they had it for every – they did it over a 2-3-year period of almost – I mean, the Big Ten, the ACC, I mean, no one was
– Yeah, that was a – I believe that was an annual thing. Even when I was at TCU, that was a controversy as well about some of the sorority mm-hmm. girls being in that issue. Yeah. I think that was the last year of the Southwest Conference too. That I think they came
right.
out within a if I remember right, because that was one of the first years I was at TCU, and that made news on campus. So
yeah.
I don't think we kicked
the
girl
very
off campus,
well.
But no. Well, I mean, given the school's history, I'm not surprised. But
right.
I do have to commend the students who did come up with the tagline "Bear It All." That was. That's good.
No, it was pretty good.
That was a good
say,
one.
I think one of the first, probably the first time I saw Playboy was Dad's All-American. He was called an All-American in Playboy, and I found it, and I was like, why do they have this Playboy here? Dad's like, oh, no, I'm in this. And I was like, well, why are you in
well,
this?
Well, anyway, no.
This. And then it was like, oh, okay, he got All-American preseason in the Playboy.
Better than your mom saying I'm in this.
Yeah, very much better than my mom saying she was in it.
In fact, I'll be sure to tell her you said that.
But no, that's why I did that, because just love to pick it, Jennifer.
I'm so glad Ryan's not on tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, well, I will – let me dovetail at the very end of, since we are talking Baylor and memories of Purple Past, I do want to, I'll bring up one thing that I actually found out, because there's a longstanding myth. For those of you who don't know, TCU used to actually be located in Waco. Adirondack College got started in Waco and eventually moved to Fort Worth. And the event that caused TCU to actually move to Fort Worth was the campus burning down.
Thank the Lord. Yes. Thank you, we got out of Waco. Anything.
Yes. And for the longest time, and even when I was at TCU, there was this story that was perpetuated among the alumni that it was the Baptists at Baylor that had burned down the original TCU campus to get Texas Christian University out of the city. And that was the prevailing story. Even when I was in, when I was at school in the 90s, that was kind of the story everybody told was, Baylor, the Baptist burned down the campus and we had to move to Fort Worth. And it's a great story. And it certainly does a good job to sow the seeds of hate between the two schools. But back in 2004, I was doing a documentary for the 100-year anniversary of the TCU ban. And it required me to do a lot of research in the special collections section of our library, which had every single yearbook that TCU had ever produced going back to, before the turn of the century. And it was a great little project. But in the middle of doing it, I came across several very old newspaper articles and one little blurb in a very early yearbook that mentioned that the fire actually started because of bad wiring in the attic of one of the buildings. So that's the official story. But I like the story that the Baptist burned down the campus a little bit better. So
okay,
I'm okay with continuing that. So there you go. Same. So as Paul Harvey used to say, now you know the rest of the story.
Waco is known for like three things, and it's not good stuff. It's like literally Baylor. You don't want to be known as Baylor. Branch Davidians,
Chip and Joanna games.
Chip and Joanna are really trying to help that image, but it's not doing much for their football team. And also, where's the Papados? Is it there yet? Just wondering.
No, I believe they don't have a Papados yet.
Have the Papados. Okay.
No, but they do have a bridge that they do make look green whenever they win. So they have that going for them.
I'm just glad we don't have to play in their stadium that, drains into a sewer, basically.
Well, you have seen the design from the air, right? It is suspiciously
like a big toilet bowl. Yeah.
It does.
Flushes right to the Brazos.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And then now they have switched out their fake brick for shiplap. Go Chip and Joe. That's the only thing they've really helped out. They had the fake brick posters for a couple years, and everyone gave them crap for that. So now they put up shiplap. I'm not kidding. That's a real thing.
I have not seen that. They put up shiplap around the inside of the bowl.
Yes. They've at least got it like on a part of it. Yeah. So, yeah, they've got shiplap around the edges now, not the fake printed brick.
so bitter.
I'm just, hey, you don't like the Aggies, I don't like Baylor. That's what it is.
You can act the Aggies in there for me too.
I'm also with you on the Aggies, but I'm gonna throw Baylor in there too.
Yeah,
it's just a difference of generation, because like I said, younger generations, absolutely we cannot stand Baylor. And the older generations, it's all about the Aggies and the Longhorns, which, I totally respect that. That Furniture Bowl looms very heavily on me as a younger alumni. But, we'll talk about that another day. Maybe if we ever get a chance to play A&M again, we could bring that up as our memory of Purple Past. But
there's a lot of those stories. They're not very good, but
Jackie Sherrill era and things like that we can talk about. But who knows if A&M can ever find themselves to play a real football team here in Texas again? Maybe we'll see.
Nah.
Aggies can't seem to bring themselves to do that. So
they're the SEC. They got to play four to five cupcakes a year, and then say they've got the hardest schedule. So
that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. They run the state they don't play in, so it's all good. Exactly. Anyway, so I think with that.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. I'm going to remember that one.
Be my guest. So with that, well, I think we've come to the end of the podcast. I want to thank everybody out there who's listening to us. We are available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Of course, if you have an opportunity to go on iTunes, we'd really appreciate you guys giving us a 5-star review. It helps the podcast become discoverable and allow other TCU fans to be able to find the podcast. And of course, you can go to killerfrogs.com and sign up for a free account and discuss TCU athletics with the rest of us. And with that, yes, sorry, Hunter, there's one other thing we need to talk about.
I just had one more thing. It's 9:45 and Baylor still sucks. That was my last thing. Sorry. Just had to throw that in before we get the Go Frog. All right.
It's Baylor Hate Week,
well,
folks.
Jennifer and WC did a great job raising that young man.
They did.
He taught him right. And with that, we've come to the end of the podcast. This is the time where we all get the frogs up and we get to say,
Go Frogs!
Baylor sucks
all the way. Can't stand them.